In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning again. Hope you're all doing well this week. You know, I think when I was looking at the passages this week, I thought the lectionary compilers did a good job this week. We have a message from Paul in Ephesians about adoption and what adoption means from that. We had a precursor of what that looks like in David, dancing and singing cymbals and harps and lyres and just the joy that comes through it. But then in our gospel passage, we get kind of a competing, contrary view of what life without adoption might look like. You know, I keep a particular sculpture in my office. Well, I will, just as soon as my stuff gets here. What it really is, I suppose, is a plaster mold. And it's a mold of two hands together, kind of holding their hands like this. The reason I keep it in my office is that it depicts a very special day in my life. It was done on the day that I was adopted. You probably didn't know that I was adopted, but I was. On the day in November in 1992, as an adult, I was adopted. Now, if you have this picture of this poor guy sitting in the orphanage decades on the edge of a bed waiting, you got the wrong picture. In November of 1992, Amber, at the age of 16, and me in my 30s, along with Jane, went to the courthouse in Colorado Springs, and we stood in front of a judge who declared that Amber Scholl was now Amber Anderson. And from there, we went to a kiosk in the mall. She and I held hands, and we put them into a vat of warm wax, and from that my plaster mold came. And what happened on that day both ended something and began something. Listen again to what was written. After his normal greeting to begin his letter to the congregation in Ephesus, Paul starts his letter by saying, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love." And here's the key verse. "He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ." You know, when I look back to the day of my adoption by Amber and her adoption by me, it is profound the number of similarities there are to the spiritual adoption that Paul is referring to and that God desires for us all. First of all, it's a choice. Now, I know that many adoptions involve infants, but even there's a choice made on behalf of the child. But in my case, the choice is more apparent. I had been in Amber's life since she was 9 years old. And Jane and I were married when Amber was 12. The next day, well, 2 days, actually, because it would have been Monday. Monday, I wanted to take Amber by the hand, go down to the courthouse, file the paperwork, pay the fees, and make what was already true in my mind and my heart a reality within the world. But it doesn't work that way. The first step is that a decision had to be made by her. It had to be her choice. It couldn't be a one-way decision that was imposed by me or her mother. The adoption that was already evident in me had to be made a reality by and in her. You see, I was already a father in her life. But she had to make me her father by becoming my daughter. And that's what Paul is getting at. It is the same way in our relationship with God. He, God, is already the Father of all people. But it is up to each one of us to make Him our Father. You see, until we make Him our Father, we are never able to get beyond the self-imposed limitations that go along with that previous reality. So how does it happen? I mean, what does it look like? Well, as far as a human legal adoption, the process goes like this. Number one, the parties involved decide. They make the decision that an adoption is what is desired by the adoptee and the adopter. Next, paperwork is completed and filed, and all the parties that have a legal interest in the action are notified. A hearing is set, and the adopting parent or parents with the child goes in front of a judge who asks many questions to make sure that the adoption is being entered into freely and intentionally. At the end of the hearing, assuming that the questions were answered satisfactorily, a gavel comes down and the declaration is made. And then everyone goes out to lunch and celebrates. But I forgot something. I forgot something that's very important. It's critical. When that gavel comes down, new documents are signed. The adopted person's name is changed. Amber became an Anderson. A new birth certificate was issued. Past legal rights and old realities that existed prior to the gavel strike were erased. A new reality with new rights were created. You see, moments before, Amber had no legal right to anything in my life. Now, however, after the proceedings, she had become my child, and through that alone stood in the line of inheritance, with all that that means. She was a new person with expanded rights within an extended reality. Now for a second, consider the adoption that God invites everyone else into. First, the parties decide. Actually, that's not true. The party decides. God has already decided and patiently awaits each person's choice. God is already, in His heart, your Father. He simply is waiting for you to say, okay. Okay to Him being your Father through your choice. Then after the choice is made, the process is engaged. In reality, the process is instantaneous, but it goes something like this. God already loves us. An individual chooses to embrace His love, and a new reality instantaneously comes into existence. But as human beings, we're tactile creatures, and so we often need more than that reality. We need that outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace that just took place, that transformed an old human existence into a new spiritual reality. In the church, we call it baptism. I guess it's the legal equivalent of the gavel coming down. The candidate comes into the context of worship, pledges are declared in front of the congregation, vows are made before God, water is blessed and applied in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then communion is celebrated. And then everyone goes down to the parish hall for donuts and coffee. Did I forget something again? I did. Also, in the process, we receive a new name. We become something more. We are now disciples, followers of Christ, people of the way, children of God, Christians. And we receive the promised inheritance bequeathed to all of God's adopted children. In essence, birth certificates are changed. School records are adjusted. Passports are reissued. Now, I have no way of knowing this, but if there's such a thing as spiritual fingerprints, I'm sure they're changed too. The old person is put away, and the new person embraces new life. The self-serving rights and the old way of being that we so fiercely cling to are shed by us. We are adopted into a new way of being where godly love reigns over its puny human version, where godly truth reigns over its feeble human substitutes, where godly relationships rule instead of their self-interested human alternatives. Adoption changes everything. Division is put away. Joy replaces anger. Peace overrules conflict. All because Christ is given control. You know, that plaster mold that I described to you will always be very special to me. When I look at it, it will, of course, always remind me of the day that my oldest daughter became my child. It will remind me of the day that she adopted me to be not just a father but in her life, but to be her father for all time. It also, however, reminds me of how God calls each of us into adoption every time I look at it. He created us to take His hand, to take His hand by becoming His adopted children and to walk the life that He created for us and for everyone who will embrace it. He promises to hold us securely and lovingly and powerfully. He promises to love us because we are wonderfully made, to teach us what we can't understand, to guide us when we veer off track, and to provide the structures that lead us into who we are called to be. He promises not just to be a father, but to be our loving father, so that we might grow into a life that is beyond anything that we can create on our own. It is a life designed to free us and to restrain us all at the same time. We were made for adoption. Everyone was made for adoption. Everyone was made to be brothers and sisters within a single spiritual family and to receive the inheritance of the love and truth that we were created for. It's just a decision away. A decision to receive it if you haven't, or a decision to cherish it if you have. Amen. Let us stand and proclaim our faith through the words of the Nicene Creed.